Coming to you from the HagmanReport.com studio, located in the Keystone State, birthplace of a mighty nation, it's your host, Doug Hagman.
And welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to this edition of the Hagman Report. It's Monday, July 29th, 2024. Just a beautiful, gorgeous Monday, right? Everyone looks forward to Monday. Eric the Tech, how are you today after just a joyous weekend, I'm sure?
I'm living.
You're living. You're living the dream too, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I'm going to tell you right now, this platform, the Hagman Report, could not exist without Eric the Tech. And I appreciate him so much. As well, I have to say, my grandkids wouldn't be just as wholesome as they can be without Eric the Tech. And of course, my daughter, their mom. It's just great. It really is. But we got a packed show for you. Just a packed show. I'm going to give you an interim update on the investigation of the attempted assassination of President Donald Trump. I'm going to give you the bottom line up front. Number one, do not listen to what the mainstream or legacy media tells you, because it's a lie. Number two, I don't believe that Mayorkas on down in the Secret Service, as well as the other intelligence apparatus that we have, they're not telling the truth. I don't believe Christopher Wray for 1 minute. I don't trust what he is saying. Now, I also want to say this, based on our interim investigation, and this is a work in progress. We're going to show you everything that we can in this work in progress. Number one, Thomas Crooks, the man identified as the alleged shooter on the roof, did not act alone. Folks, you can take that to the bank. Was he the only shooter? I don't know, because the audio of the shots was not done by me or was not commissioned by me. That doesn't mean I distrust people like Mike Adams, who did the acoustics and such. No, but I didn't do it or have it commissioned to be done. And until that happens, I don't have data on that. But I will say this. And again, I've got this presentation, if you will, of where we're at with this. Number one, that man did not act alone. Number two, there were other assets there to assist Crooks or to make him out to be the sole patsy. Yes, folks, I do know about Maxwell Yurick, also Matthew Yurick, in some communications, who is connected to Yurick Armory and Explosives in Arizona, allegedly, who was operating or owned, supposedly, allegedly, a van filled with that had explosives in it that was flatbedded away. It had Arizona tags that went to Yurick Armory and Explosives. We know about that. Was he involved? That's still under investigation. I am also aware that Representatives Eli Crane and Corey Mills, along with a very popular podcaster, Benny Johnson, went to Butler, Pennsylvania last week. I'm going to show you some video they took. Now, I have been in contact with a source in Butler, law enforcement source, who has just a ton of knowledge, who I'm not going to get into the whistleblower status because I'm just not going to do that. But the fact of the matter is, this source is telling me, look, you can't come down here and go anywhere you want. It is still roped off, essentially. It's still a crime scene. Now, we're into this. It was on the 13th. This is the 29th. That's a long time. I'm going to tell you right now, I've never, ever, 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 ever seen a crime scene that's been taped off and off limits for this length of time. I mean, even the worst homicide scenes, I've never seen that. The trip by Corey Mills and Eli Crane was done under the guidance of the FBI. To me, that is not an investigative. No. If I'm going to go there, no one is going to tell me, you can't go there, you can't go here, but you can look over here. They did that to me and Tom Bowerly back in 2000 and Randy Taylor back in 2005, 2006, and at an Islamic center in Buffalo, New York. We knew where certain things were in this Islamic center, but we were not allowed to go there. They offered a guided tour, which many of the media took, this guided tour. I shouldn't say many. A couple of news stations took. And wouldn't you know it, they found nothing amiss within this Islamic center. But did they look where? I said, look, we need to look over there. No, I wasn't there, but ahead of time, you need to look here, very specifically. They weren't allowed. So until such time as there is unfettered access to that scene, it's worthless to go. But they allowed Fox to fly a drone. They allowed Benny to fly a drone. But again, there were certain limitations on where you can go. Now, Randy Taylor is with me. Okay, so that's going to be the bulk of the program. A few other things, too. What's up with the bruise on the chin of Biden? You might think, well, would you just notice that, you know, after that, hey, I'm not running speech? No. I mentioned it before. You know, again, we have to cover things, and we can't exclude. I mean, there's so much to cover, but we have to be all inclusive. And also, who was that guy? I guess it was over the weekend or at the end of last week who came out with Joe Biden, because surely that couldn't have been Joe Biden. The guy was a foot taller than Joe Biden or 8 inches taller. Who is that guy? We already know there was a coup within the Democratic Party. Just saying. But what happened to Joe? How did he sustain an obvious bruise? And by the way, it wasn't limited to his chin. The makeup could not cover that. There's eye damage and also forehead damage. And it appeared to be on the left side of his face. In fact, Randy Taylor said, gee, is Joe right-handed? Fair question. So there's that. Then we have things popping off in the Middle East. Bad things. Hezbollah bombing, I believe it was a soccer game, 12 children dead. This, of course, is in addition to Hamas, what they're doing. And I'm no fan of this Dresden-like bombing by Israel into the Gaza Strip and into the Palestinians. I'm no fan of that. None. No, I'm not. But in my view with Hamas, this is more like a little kid coming up to his older brother and punching the older brother, and then the older brother kind of pushing him or punching him back, and then the younger brother going to mom and saying, Mom, 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 they're picking on me. He's picking on me. He's picking on me. Think of it in that way, perhaps. But again, the war there, the reason I mention this is because we can see a third world war, and where a third world war would really originate in this case would be Iran. Remember, just like Syria was the red line for Russia, Hezbollah, Jordan, that's the red line for China. And we've already seen the encroachment of Russian and Chinese military planes on the Alaskan area of the U.S. I'm telling you, that's a volatile situation. And then, of course, the Venezuelan elections. Man, I'm telling you right now, people are angry, and they're storming the polling stations in Venezuela. That, folks, I'm going to tell you right now, I got some video of that. I think I have a video of that. Yeah, I do, which is video 5. That could very well be the U.S. this November. Listen to what I'm telling you. It's very important. But let's get off with the interim investigative report about the shooting. Before I do, I want to bring in Randy Taylor, rt@hagmanpi.com. We've been working on this relentlessly. We're not going to give this up. I'm going to tell you right now, this firm, Hagman Report, is a subsidiary of Hagman Investigative Services Incorporated, 37 years in business, conducted every type of investigation you can think of. And this falls within our purview in terms of our experience. And the we have experience in this, obviously, not in presidential assassinations, but in homicide, in shootings, the forensic areas, the blood spatter analysis to verify trajectory, to tell you what did or did not happen in certain cases. But you have to have access to the original either photographs or the original scene, which we couldn't at this point, or to look over the submitted documents about you know the trajectory of the bullets, the projectiles. So it's going to be an interesting and information-packed program for you. But let's bring on Randy Taylor. Randy Taylor, how are you, sir?
I'm doing okay, buddy. Just hanging in there. I hope everybody enjoyed their evening last Friday with the Olympics. With the tribute to Satan and to homosexuality and the alphabet people and the live molesting of children on television. If you didn't see it,
yep.
I hope you taped it because you need to go back and look at it. And I'm telling you now, talk about Satan being at work.
Thank you for, yes.
They sold that to Satan. And those companies that sponsored that crap, every one of them needs to be boycotted. There's lists online. I don't have to prove it. If you need it, I'll get it and put it on site. But I'll tell you right now, what I saw was filth.
The one guy that...
Filth.
Yeah, you
don't like seeing the dude's nutsack?
Rubbed on the girl, by the way.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, and the humping and the, you know what? They might as well just sacrifice the child on stage because that's the only thing that was missing.
That's next.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, and breaking news, just so you know, it was this morning out of England, a Taylor Swift dance contest or something like that. Some guy went in there and started stabbing the children. These children are 4 to 6 years old. There's, it's a mess. Okay. Mainstream media is probably not going to touch this. Go online, look it up. It's there. I do know you can still search it. Okay. And it's developing. So look, things are getting crazy. And I just wanted to get that in there. So, you know, we told you first. All right. And it's still developing. If we have more information on that, I would give it to you, but I don't. Oh, during the show, you guys will see me do this every now and then. I'm not sitting here for my own amusement, just so you know. There's a lot of times in the middle of the show when I send Eric and Doug pictures or something, it's because something's breaking or I've been waiting on something for the show. And so I grab my phone. And it's faster on the phone than anything. You know, to get it to Doug and Eric. Eric's good. I'll send him a text. It's on his way. Boom. Next thing, it's on the screen, baby.
I'll tell you, Doug, he is like, good, man.
Yeah, like Doug
Randy
said.
Randy is sending text to that dude with the dangly thing hanging out.
Yeah, that was the most blasphemous thing I've ever seen on TV. You know,
I will send one picture to Eric that stuck in my head from there, And you guys can just, and so let's just keep going with what we're doing. And I will send a horrific, and there it is, in my opinion, a horrific.
Well,
horrific.
I think the normal people that don't have the, I think people need to understand the ties between the trans movement and pedophilia and child trafficking / sacrifice. Folks, if you don't get the connection, it is. And if you go a little bit backwards a little bit, the LGBTQ whatever movement is tied to the pedophilia movement. And if you support any of that, you're supporting ultimately trafficking, raping, and sacrificing of children. End of story.
But the producer wanted everybody to be inclusive.
Yeah.
Except.
Yeah. I was just, there was nothing artistic about it. Nope. There was nothing decent about it. There was nothing there to be proud of.
Exactly.
Everyone should be ashamed. And you know what? If you could get a hold of them by email, I'd start slamming these people. They offered this little meek apology. I'm sorry. Somebody needs to pay financially for that. And the way to do that is don't patronize the people who are sponsoring it. They knew about it.
Thank you. All right. Now, let's go right into this interim investigative report. I put it in kind of a slide fashion, just so people know. Look, this is a Dealey Plaza. In my view, this is a Dealey Plaza of Pennsylvania.
Yep.
You had stated this is a field of fire. And yep. I believe this to be true. And this is our information as of today. So let's go to the first slide on this to give you kind of an overview of things. This is Google Maps with my little notations put over the map. When you type in AGR building, there's the red marker on top. That entire complex is the AGR building, the American Glass Retailer building. And the star that you see is the approximate location of the stage and President Trump's location. Now, the red marker has really nothing to do with the position of the shooter or of the window reportedly occupied by the counter sniper team, and then suddenly not occupied by it. Folks, if any of this is foreign to you, or if you're seeing this for the first time, you may have to go back and take a look at some of the other images that are online. But most people who have seen this understand what they're looking at. The water tower, I should add, would be to the right in this image. People are saying, well, where's the water tower? It's in the right of the image. Yeah, well, look at that. You can actually move it?
Yeah, put it where we want there, buddy.
Wow.
We'll make it fit somebody's story. No, okay. Just kidding. Yeah. Just kidding.
Okay. Well, no.
Let's see. FBI, we'll put it here. Department of Justice over here. Oh, and for the show that we're walking you through, it's over here. And no, you cannot go there.
Yeah. And the water tower. Now this... That team with the podcaster was allowed to approach the water tower. Now, the water tower itself, that water tower is exactly, well, not exactly, approximately 155 to 160 yards from the shooter.
Yards.
So a football field and a half from the shooter. Okay. That is owned by the Pennsylvania American Water Company. Now, it is surrounded by a chain link fence with barbed wire on the top. That's not new. It has a door to the chain link fence, a gate, I should say, that has today and at the time of that Crane Mills expedition had a brand new lock and chain, which suggests that sometime in the very, very recent past, that lock and chain was put on that gate. Now, another thing about that water tower, reportedly, there was no one on that water tower. That's the official story. Good or bad, the perpetrators or the Secret Service. However, that was the highest point in the entire area. You're going to hear Eli Crane.
And that was about 275 yards from stage.
Negative. Or yes, from the, correct, yes. Just under three football fields. And about 150 yards from the shooter. Now, we'll go to the next slide. Again, that's an establishment shot. People don't know this, or they're having a hard time with this. Thomas Crooks allegedly gained access to that roof. You like my figures? The white person figure at the north end or the top of your screen is where he reportedly climbed the roof. It's actually one of the lower parts of the building complex. And in that area, there is an air conditioning unit and a PVC pipe, a series of pipes actually, but one specific pipe that runs up the side of that building in that very spot. So Crooks, once on the roof, and again, this is pretty, Eric, you could have done a heck of a lot better job, but this is me showing the, based on direct evidence from someone on the ground in Butler, Pennsylvania. This is from our source. This is the route of travel this Thomas Crooks would have had to take to get to his final shooting position while carrying an AR-15. Now, what type? I don't know. Collapsible stock? I don't know. Can we say anything about the weapon? No, not really. Because really everything has been locked down. But take a look at that. Take a look at that direct or that travel. He had to traverse at least three, if not four buildings, separate buildings, to get to his final place where he took the shots.
Isn't that incredible? We don't have the specs of the weapon.
There's a whole lot more incredible. Yes, we don't have the specs of the weapon.
That's such a simple.
Yeah, and you know, it does make a difference to the grain of the bullet, the types of ammunition used. But interestingly enough, Ray said they found eight. Now listen to those words: eight cartridges on the roof. That's not the same as eight shell casings.
Are they spent cartridges?
There was no follow-up question to that.
We don't know.
Did they fall out of somebody's pocket?
Why was the weapon so far away from him? There's a lot of questions here.
And you know, again, and you can keep that picture up.
There's more video out there, and to our audience, if you have something that you think is pertinent, please don't try not to bury us with the stuff that's on the web, very readily available. But if you know something that here's what I want, if I had a wish list, there's shots of him on the roof and getting up, dropping back down, getting up, dropping back down, like he's trying to do a visual over the ridge of the roof. What I would like to see in any video is a clear video of him firing his weapon. That will help with shot attribution. Anything that you see that has to do with the firing of a weapon that is, if there's no doubt that's what it is, please send it to me. RT@HagmanPI.com. Come on, guys, you know the email address. RT@HagmanPI.com. We're going to ask for other stuff in this show too. Please. Okay. And reason being, there's just three or four of us doing this. And I'm already, Doug, we're emailing each other at 4 o'clock in the morning because we've been staring at videos all day, all night. I do it till my eyes hurt and I don't want to start making mistakes. You know what I mean? And that's when I go to bed. Please, anything you have that is pertinent.
Now, okay, and to continue with this, and thank you for sending to rt@hagmanpi.com.
Don't send me 40,000 emails.
Yeah, be judicious.
Please. You know, you guys go on the internet, and you know how good we are at finding stuff. This is that one rare, and there's only going to be one of them out there probably.
That has yet to be scrubbed, yes. Please send it. Now, what I find interesting, going back to the Crane and the Eli Crane and Corey Mills expedition to this location, again, you've got sitting members of Congress being told that they can go here, 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 and here. But you see where that white figure is, where that crooks reportedly climbed onto the building? They weren't allowed to go there. Now, I don't like it when people say, you can't go over here.
Well, don't you feel like by taking those people there, they're trying to sell their story?
Yes.
Or a story.
A story, not the story.
Because the people they took, too, appeal more to the younger generation than myself, Alex Jones, people like that. Okay? These people that they took appeal, and Democratic congressmen, really?
Well, no, I mean, there were some. No, they were Republican.
Oh, they were? Okay.
Yeah.
They probably stayed in the van. But
No. Corey Mills and Eli Crane, they've got the experience in the military and shooting and stuff.
But they weren't allowed to look around.
But
I just feel like they're trying to sell a story.
Exactly. And that's the thing. If you tell me I'm not allowed in this area, that's the first area I'm going to go to.
Yeah, it's like don't pay any attention to the man behind the curtain.
Yeah.
Oh, you don't see him. Flight 800. I just fell out of the sky. There were no explosions that night.
And you know, people make fun of me like because I do have the Columbo attributes. I find I'm able to be helped by others as well as get to places that ordinarily, you know, I wouldn't get to. And
we need Denny Crane.
Denny Crane instead of Eli Crane, right? Yeah.
Doug can get in anywhere, you know, like if you wanted to go in the care office in Orlando.
That's a different story. Okay, by the way, on the image, the police hat, I probably should have moved it down a little ways, but that's above the building. Yeah. That's where the window is, right there. Yeah, right there. That overlooked the roof. Now that's a second floor window, and I think one of the videos will have it, but there was supposed to be a three-man counter sniper unit or even an ESU unit with local law enforcement in that room with that window with the view offering the entirety of the roof that featured Crooks. What happened to those three people? I'll just tell you right now, the first one reportedly had a family emergency and had to leave. Now you've got a three-man counter sniper crew. So the first guy had to leave. The second guy and the third guy, you're not going to hear this anywhere else, were dispatched somewhere else. Now there are differing stories. Number one of the stories is the second guy, the second sniper, counter sniper, went down to look for Crooks after being alerted to a suspicious man, that being Crooks, and was subsequently locked out because his key card was not functioning to get back up to the sniper position. So the sniper, the primary sniper, had to leave and let the second person back into the building, at which time, conveniently, the shots were taken. Is that the story or a story? I don't know, but according to my source, you might want to rethink that whole thing. Okay, so, but folks, understand. And RT, what do you think of that track?
What? Oh yeah, that's a hike. Even if you're in shape at 17, when I was in the military, I was 17 years old. That would have been interesting. You got different roof heights. You're carrying a rifle. You know, I
But the fact and, that he was allowed and, to go that far.
And, yeah, and a lot of exposure.
Yes.
That's the part that troubles me, is the exposure. And if there were cops in and out of that building, like originally was said, and they're trying to retract that story, how I don't understand how any of this occurred when there's supposed to be police officers, law enforcement, and scattered government folks in that building. It was like a command post.
Right. It was a sniper position.
So what the hell? This is really, really...
But makes
oh, this is something.
What
this
makes it worse, be, though, is yeah. 90 minutes, a full 90 minutes. First of all, I'll take you back to 3:51 in the afternoon that this guy, Thomas Crooks, was seen operating a drone. According to Christopher Ray, it was 200 to 400 yards away from the venue itself. According to my source, it was over the drone conducted overflight of the entire area, unfettered access. That was for a 10-minute period, 3:51 to 4:01, and President Trump did not take the stage until 6:02 p.m., which he should have never been allowed to do. And even before that, or in between that 4:01 and 6:02, Thomas Crooks at 5:10, I should say, at 5:10, he was first identified as a person of interest. At 5:30, he attempted entry into the primary venue. He was spotted with a rangefinder. He tried to enter the inner perimeter with that rangefinder. He was identified or characterized by law enforcement as Antifa and a troublemaker. And it wasn't until 5:52, but that's a long time. That's 19 minutes before he took his first shot. He was identified or spotted on the roof by the United States Secret Service some 18 or 19 minutes before he took his first shot. Think about that.
It's almost like they were waiting for him to fire before they engaged him.
Correct.
And I'm sorry, man on roof with rifle is not supposed to be there, I would think, would be enough to engage.
You would think. Now, there are a couple of extenuating factors that I would say did play a role in the delay. One, there is a lip on that roof.
Yeah.
Okay.
The ridge cap.
Yeah. Thank you. Yeah, that's right. That could have provided him some cover, if not concealment.
It did, because you'll notice in one video out there, and it's very common now, the people are running and there's a scan across the field and they're going, he's right there. You see him do this. He kind of up and does that.
Yeah. Looks
both over. Of those times that he does that, he's trying to see over the ridge.
Okay, and we
because
also
he's still down at the base of the roof where he first entered the roof. That's where he's positioned at that time.
Yes. And now I have a problem even with this diagram, because you've got too much real estate between that X and the lawn area to the left. Okay. However, the blood pattern. The blood that ran down that particular, what do you call it? A track of the roof, because
it's metal roof.
Yeah. So okay. Yeah. All right.
And they left that there for that little three person video that's floating around with the guy from, looks like he's from Secret Service, and two guys in cami. Finally, Fox or somebody blotted it out. But there for a while, you could see the blood. Where it ran right on down the roof.
Right. And at the time, I'll just say this. At the time, Crane and Mills and Benny Johnson were there, that blood was still there. So.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And what? Well, it was evident. I don't know if they did anything to take away the.
Because they had a guy up on the roof with a hose at one point. Trying to.
But
that's why we were all like, what do you mean the roof's too steep?
No, and you're going to see this. You're going to see this in the videos we're going to show. The roof is not steep at all. That's why Kim Cheadle is nothing but a hack and should have been. I'll tell you what. She should be brought up on charges, but that's a different story. Okay.
And the snipers were on steeper roofs.
Oh, yeah. And as you'll see in the videos, the snipers were on way steeper roofs, the U.S. Secret Service, as well as the other teams. Okay. The the next slide. Again, this is, I created these slides for the investigation. Forgive any kind of weird things that, or things that might look weird. Important as well to this is this chain link fence that I marked. It runs the length of the field. And that fence, I think, that fence is, I think, 120 yards. You know what? It's a little bit shorter than that, closer to than that to the President of the United States, or presidential candidate Donald Trump. All right, next slide. This is the rendering by Fox. And you can see the slope on the roof on the left as well as on the right, where the shooter was. You can see that ridge, as you said, ridge post. You can see where the stage is pointed out and where the counter-sniper units teams were. Now, if you look directly on the slide left, you can see a tree that exists pretty prominently right directly. It would be right almost in front of the Crooks shooter, okay?
Right in his field of vision.
Right, but that doesn't block his vision of President Trump. That blocks his vision, or blocks the counter-sniper unit that was ready to take a shot, could have taken a shot, that was closer. It blocks their vision of Crooks. Mm-hmm. Convenient. Was that acquired, with that position acquired by drone footage, or was it
luck?
They have inside help. No. It wasn't luck. Okay. And then the picture on the right has a different vantage point. From President Trump's, or showing where President Trump was standing, the stage there, but also where the shooter was and where the sniper team, the primary counter sniper team, and the secondary counter sniper team would be sniper position two. The sniper position two would have had a better line of vision, line of sight, line of shooting than team one, but threw another 100, 120 yards on top of that. Longer shot, more difficult shot, but nonetheless a cleaner line of sight. So did the first one take him out? No. The second team took him out, reportedly. All right, go to the next one. Again, this gives you a different, somewhat different, if not better, closer idea of the geographical layout. The shooter was blocked by that tree there, the vision or the sighting of that from the sniper position one. However, sniper position two, although further away, had a cleaner shot. But look at the, when you see the stage, the shooter would have had a direct shot to President Trump, but not visible to, necessarily all the time visible to sniper position one. RT, any comments?
I'll tell you, if we'd been charged with security, we would have had a sniper where that shooter was.
As well as on the water tower, which
there's a lot of, especially on the water tower.
Yeah.
Probably. This was a pure.
It can't be a failure.
It's a conspiracy. It's not a mistake.
Yes.
This is a conspiracy. I don't care what anybody says. You cannot tell me that the United States Secret Service, as good a job as those people, those ladies and gentlemen do, did this on their own and by mistake. No, 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 no. And those people take a lot of pride in their job. Let me just tell you that. I've known a few in my life. They take a lot of pride in their job. they throw their bodies in front of people so the others might live. But they were all, and it doesn't take much to arrange a gap in security. Doug, you know that. I know that. Folks out there in the audience, it doesn't take much. It's just a couple of people to create a gap in, say, a 100-person security detail. I could do it in any location.
You got
and it
them,
was yeah. done, and it was done here. This is a very large conspiracy to kill Donald Trump. And it was done by our government, yes. ladies and gentlemen. People in our government. We're not talking about people down in the field being promised $5,000 or $10,000 to kill somebody. We're not talking about that. We're talking about globalists getting to someone in a high position and convincing them that's what they want to do and promising that person something phenomenal, like a seat at the globalist table.
But that doesn't exclude. Now, I'll just say this. There has to be. Okay, so there are multiple levels of conspiracy here.
Yeah.
That's at the higher level. But I will say this. There had to be, at least at this point in my investigation. Now, again, RT, you might have something different on this. And Eric and others, according to my source, there had to be someone assisting. And this had to predate even the date of the rally. But this location was approved. Yes. This guy was being trained and groomed long before this ever happened.
Yes. This is an ideal shooting gallery. This is there's the term shooting fish in a barrel. This is the barrel, baby.
Correct.
Literally, at those ranges, you don't miss. That's why we say it was the hand of God that protected Donald Trump's head.
Amen. All right, quickly, we'll go to the next slide. It's somewhat, it's a different view. If you look at the red barns, metal barns, that gives you the, if you ever want to know where President Trump's stage was, it was in front of the red barn, series of red barns. You can see where the stage is being pointed out, the shooter. And you can see that might even be I don't think it was a duplicate, but it just gives you a different vantage point. Again, the slope roof, not there, not so much slope. The ridge, would you call that a ridge?
A ridge vent. It looks like it's vented, but we call it, it's the ridge of the roof.
Okay, yeah. So there was that. But this was pre-selected, obviously. This position was pre-selected. The fact that no one was on the water tower, as will be mentioned by Eli Crane. We don't know that 100%, but I'll tell you this. If they would have been on the ball, I guarantee you a counter-sniper unit, maybe two, would have been on that water tower with a 360-degree view. By the way, none of the businesses outside of, if you look at the overhead and zoom out a little bit, you'll see a lot of businesses with even higher vantage points behind, like 300 yards from the stage, for example, or 350 yards, I'm sorry.
There's a dance center, some sort of recreational type center, yes. for athletic stuff. And it's running at about 480 yards out. And for a sniper, that's nothing. That's an easy enough shot. I've done that.
You've done longer, but yes.
Yeah, I've done longer, but I'm just saying that's for trained sniper. That's an achievable target. That's not, and it wasn't a windy day. There was some gentle breeze, but I've fired higher than that.
And don't forget, people with rifles are trained at trained at 1,000 yards. But anyway, okay, let's go to the next one. This gives you a very blurry picture of the Thomas Crooks, allegedly Thomas Crooks, with a rifle, responding to shouts from people on the ground saying, hey, there's somebody with a rifle on the roof. Mm-hmm. Okay, now, you can't see this, but in the video, he does kind of muzzle the people on the ground shouting. Now, really? I mean, talk about it being exposed, and this is long before Crooks was shot. Just saying.
I'm thinking that, the only thing I could see them were stalling, they're trying to verify that it wasn't law enforcement. That's the only reason I could even get, you know, like if the sniper team, the spotter spotted him, and the sniper's looking at him through right through the scope. The guy, I don't know what our counter snipers were thinking. I don't know. I don't know what their orders were. I don't know what they were told. You know, this is your of engagement, terms of engagement, whatever it's called. It escapes my mind.
Here's the problem with this. The local law enforcement, after right around 5:10, an hour before the first shots rang out, the local law enforcement took photographs of Thomas Crook and distributed them by text as well as other means to other local and federal law enforcement, saying, "This is the guy. This is the guy that was acting weird. It tried to get into the venue with a rangefinder. We saw him. This is the guy that we need to detain." But no one did.
Why didn't they do it when they ran into him earlier?
They just, this is the information I got.
You can hold anybody for a certain amount of hours. Right. This just reeks of conspiracy. And I'm not sure they won't try it again, Doug.
No, and that's the point of this. They will try again. And this time it could be a truck bomb. It could be, you know, a man pad. Who the heck knows?
I'm afraid of his jet going down.
That very well could be. Now, another piece of information. People, you might know this. Next slide. Senator Hawley's been doing a lot, especially grilling Mayorkas. The local law enforcement, the night before as well as the day of, offered drones to the United States Secret Service, who said, no, thank you. Thanks, but no thanks. But notice the wording here, to identify active shooters, but also to help neutralize them. Think about that sentence for a second. A drone that could help neutralize an active shooter. How does that work, RT?
I would say it's a rifle round. That'd be great for deer hunting.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They turned it down.
They did. All right. Again, quickly, next slide. This is something that I originally thought was a water cannon as a countermeasure against any additional gunfire. The first second. This, pay very close attention to this. For radio listeners, this is a crane. It's got like a pallet. What do you call it? Eric the Tech?
Boom. It's a boom. That's the boom.
It's a boom. Okay. It's got
the crane itself.
Right. Okay. This is not part of the tractor or farm equipment. This was placed there. I'm operating off what my law enforcement source said. Placed there by the Secret Service and by some campaign people to hold some audio equipment, but also to act as in a way to block certain things from I'm not going to get too far into why it was there beyond the sound. But look at the crane arm there. And
the folks in radio land, it's totally collapsed. As you know, a crane is hydraulic. And yes. And so the other two sections have recessed into the base section. Base section is on a flatbed. Like a diesel truck, a big truck, 18 wheeler, that kind of tractor. Okay. And it's recessed, but it's still, the boom is a good 22 feet probably off the ground, the tip of it, the top. Okay. And by blowing that line, in theory, should have dropped that boom in the path of the escaping president. In his vehicle. One other thing that nobody's talked about at all, and we need to look at it. Okay.
Now,
I
just want to say this. People talk about explosives. The reports I'm getting, that was not done by a gunshot, but by a smaller explosive.
Small charge. Small charge, and what's his name? Crooks apparently had some sort of transmitter.
If it wasn't Crooks, it was someone else, but yes, yes.
All right. So let's, the one thing that nobody's talked about at all, when they were stuffing President Trump into that Suburban, did you notice the camouflaged officer at the front actually stuck his gun barrel in the door aimed at President Trump?
Yes.
Did anybody pick up on that? Why in the hell did that guy do that?
Lack of training? No.
Stop and think about it. What if that boom fell? Suburban can't move. You know, you're in a shooting gallery. And that's why they would do it. So someone in close could then kill the president. I'd like to question that cop and find out why he stuck his gun barrel inside where the door and the body of the truck, there's a gap there when the door is open. And he stuck his weapon right in there, pointed at President Trump.
All right. Now, next picture. Next slide. This is a wider angle view, and it can it will show you the Secret Service vehicles would have to go through that misty area, if you will, to evacuate President Trump. The hydraulic fluid coated those vehicles. You can't see it because it's behind the bunting that on the backstage there. But that's where the location of the Secret Service evacuation vehicles were. Now, whether or not that crane was positioned properly or where it was intended to be still remains to be decided. But according to my source, look, this was not an accident. It was not an errant bullet. It was done with purpose, with intent, and that was to make sure that that President Trump was not able to get out of that field of fire. Just saying. And one last thing. Last slide. People trying to search for the assassination attempt on President Trump today, yesterday, tomorrow, I'm sure. Google and other search engines are hiding any attempts to search for information on the July 13th, 2024 event. And there it is on your screen. Go ahead and try to type that in on Google or other search engines. There are a few that work, a few that don't, including especially Google, the most used search engine. So, yeah, you get the assassination attempt on Truman before President Trump. So the auto fill will not point you to President Trump. So is that a big deal? Yeah, it's a big deal. Okay, that concludes the presentation part of this. Now, a couple of videos. RT, any comments on this before we move on?
No, I just think we're a long way from figuring anything out.
Well, we are, but I think we can definitely state what did not happen. And this was not an intelligence failure. It was an intended...
No, and I don't know why they keep saying that. They're covering their asses. And this guided tour... to me, proves it.
Yeah, yeah.
When was the last time you heard of something like that?
Well, look, the Warren Commission 63, you know, how that whole thing was orchestrated, guided, and this is where this happened. Don't tell me where it happened. Let me look for myself. And that's where this platform is at. I don't want to go and be told. I'm going to go and look for myself. Go ahead.
No, that's exactly what I did. Absolutely. People are really trying to cover their asses up here.
It's crazy. Page one in the show notes, Daily Mail counter sniper message. If you can put that on screen, Eric the Tech, I'm sorry for going out of order here. But this this came out over the weekend. This is about... one of the counter-sniper officers left. Trump counter-sniper's chilling text messages before assassination attempt reveal how gunman was one step ahead of Secret Service and local law enforcement. If you scroll down on this, there is a... there's a text message you'll find. There it is, right there. This is from at 4:26 p.m. This is from a counter sniper officer. Someone followed our lead and snuck in and parked by our cars, just so you know. A minute later, I'm just letting you know because you see me go out with my rifle and put it in my car, so he knows, meaning the at this point, it was this person is identified as Crooks. So he knows you guys are up there, and he's sitting sitting to the direct right on a picnic table about 50 yards from the exit. Okay. Ostensibly, this is Crooks. But the fact of the matter is, at 4:26, they already had him identified and identified as a threat. This is a man whose shift was over and leaving the area and thought, hey, this guy's a big threat, so I'm going to take my rifle, make sure he sees it, make sure he knows you guys are up there. If it was that bad, they should have neutralized that threat before, long before President Trump took the stage. Go ahead.
Yeah, at least take him into custody until the event's over.
Detain him. Yeah, whatever.
I would just like to know who is issuing these orders.
Well,
seriously, on Secret Service, I was curious. State police were there. Butler police were there. There's reports of Secret Service leaving and going to McDonald's.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, you just, there's way too many gaps. I mean, they provided all of these things provided a clear shot to kill Donald Trump.
As you stated, that's
a serious thing. These were mistakes, and Doug's right. I absolutely concur with that. These were not mistakes.
No. All right, we're going to work kind of somewhat backwards from earlier to later or short to long. Let's cue up video 4. This is Eli Crane last week on the roof, and this will give you a better perspective to match with the still images that I presented in the presentation. This is video 4. It's a minute 20, and all of these are going to be played in their entirety, so you've got the entire context of the statement by Eli Crane. This is video 4.
All right, guys, I'm up here on the building where the supposed sniper took a shot. It's not that steep at all. We just had a 70-year-old man back here climb up on the roof easily. See that water tower behind me? Had Secret Service or anybody had sniper teams up there, this guy wouldn't have made it 5 feet up this roof. He would have been taken out. Behind me, you see the windows that Secret Service was supposedly in the second floor of this building behind. Makes you wonder why they weren't able to quickly dispatch the individual. And then behind me, back over here where those red roofs are, that's where the stage was set up. That's where the president was giving his speech from. A lot of questions here in Butler, but we look forward to doing oversight and getting to the bottom of it and making sure it never happens again.
So that was compliments of Breitbart. RT, your thoughts on that? Just to ask you, did that give people a little bit better sense from the panels that I provided?
Yeah, a little bit. It's better than a diagram.
Yeah, okay.
So nice when you go up there. And now, bear in mind that gentleman's talking to you. He's standing, okay? So picture your guy laying down, but it puts everything in perspective. Gives you an idea of the distance just with the naked eye. Looks totally different through a scope with the naked eye. And the trees are very important. I think that they play a role, just as Doug described. You know, I just really wish that they'd let those guys loose because they are both experienced. And I wasn't shooting anything at them. I was just saying their audience engulfs more younger people, in my opinion.
I agree. I mean, look, our demographic is what it is.
Yeah. And
But you know, look, I'm this is nothing against any other podcaster, but man,
no.
You know, you cannot, experience will tell you, you and I have had some, you cannot be led to see what they want you to see.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And with anything, just like when we tell you something, we encourage you to check us out.
Absolutely.
Verify it. And that's why we say, and please do this with anyone that's presenting anything to you. Don't take it at the surface, people. Ask questions. Ask questions, just like you do with us. You guys, and you folks that ask questions, and by email, I answer emails all day long with people with questions. No problem. I don't have a problem with it.
Okay. Yeah. Now, the overlap on this, because of time here, let's go right to video one. This is Representative Eli Crane. It's a 6-minute-long video. And I know the length is troublesome. But this is before the House Oversight Committee, and it was during this committee that he brought some of the same footage, but added certain things as well. This is right after his first, I believe it was his first trip to the field of fire in Butler, Pennsylvania. So this is cut one. RT, if you want the video to stop or something, just punch sure. in and say stop or whatever. Yep. Okay. Cut one, HagmanPI.com. Bookmark that website and open up today's show notes and or today's title. And all the show notes are right there. So video one.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'd like the staff to go ahead and play the video that I took at the site yesterday.
All right, guys, I'm up here on the building where the supposed sniper took his shot. It's not that steep at all. We just had a 70-year-old man back here climb up on the roof easily. See that water tower behind me? Had Secret Service or anybody had sniper teams up there, this guy wouldn't have made it 5 feet up this roof. He would have been taken out. Behind me, you see windows that Secret Service was supposedly in the second floor of this building behind. Makes you wonder why they weren't able to quickly dispatch the individual. And then behind me, back over here where those red roofs are, that's where the
can you guys cut it right there, please?
President was giving a speech from. A lot of questions here in Butler.
Cut it. Thank you. All right, Colonel Paris, did you notice when you showed up on site what the tallest structure on the site was?
I can't say at the moment that I arrived that I did, no, sir.
Okay. Now that you've had a chance to go back and look over it, what is the tallest structure on that site?
The water tower, sir.
Absolutely. Colonel, do you know how far the water tower was from the roof where the shooter took his shots?
I do not.
160 yards, sir. Who made the decision, Colonel, not to put a counter-sniper team on the tallest structure by far on the site with 360-degree surveillance? Do you have any idea?
I do not know, sir.
Okay. We'd like to get that answer. Did you see the video that showed me sticking my phone out the second-story window? Did you see that?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Exposing the coverage of the window of the entire roof. Are you aware that local law enforcement and Secret Service had full access to that building in that room?
My understanding is that they did.
Yeah. Why weren't security teams, sir, on site able to spot a 20-year-old kid with zero camouflage crawling up a white roof with an AR-15 that several rally goers were screaming and yelling and pointing out, and they noticed him, and they weren't even there to conduct security. They were there to watch the president. Do you have any idea why the security teams couldn't find that guy?
I do not, sir.
Would the gentleman yield for just a second on that? So just for clarification, it was the ESU guys that were manning those buildings,
yep.
And they left because of the call of the suspicious person. So they left their post there to go look for him. They're the same individuals who attempted to climb up the building and were scared away by the shooter pointing the gun, right?
I reclaim my time. Thank you.
Okay.
I'm just wondering why they weren't able to find him, because even while they were looking, they could have still looked out that window that they had access to. All right.
If you can't Colonel pause Paris. It right there. Does that make sense? RT, does that make sense to you? They have a clear line of sight, and they reportedly left their positions from the clear line of sight to look for this guy? Does that make sense?
No. If they had a clear line of sight, I don't know.
They were stationed in the second floor window, air conditioned, no less, with clear line of vision of the entire roof. Think back to the still image.
Mm-hmm. Why didn't they check them out?
And common sense says, hey, one person stay.
At least.
And yep. Where are all the ground people?
Yeah, none of this makes sense.
There's a lot of lying going on, guys.
Yeah. Okay, go ahead and continue with that.
I'm just going to say it. Are you aware, sir, that many Americans believe this was very likely not a lone shooter, but a coordinated assassination attempt? Have you been getting those messages from people like I have?
I have not, sir.
You haven't? Well, there's a lot of people in this room that have been getting the same messages. Why do you think that is? Why do you think that a lot of Americans are like, this doesn't add up, this doesn't make sense, guys? How could this many things have gone wrong? Right, like the things I pointed out, a 20-year-old kid, 150, got 150 yards of the President of the United States with an AR-15, flew a drone to conduct site surveillance, was spotted with a rangefinder ranging targets, then lost, had advanced explosive devices on him with no military training. Nobody was placed in the most obvious spot to conduct counter-sniper operations. I was a sniper in the SEAL team's colonel. As soon as I got out of the SUV and I saw that sniper, that water tower, I was like, that's exactly where I'd be. Put me right there. So obvious. After partisan attempts to bankrupt him, imprison him for 750 years, and countless depictions as a modern day Hitler, are you surprised, sir, that a lot of Americans are like, maybe there's more to this story?
I wouldn't begin to speculate about what the American people think, sir.
Colonel, did your team make entry and conduct investigation at the suspect's home prior to the shooting?
Excuse me, sir. I asked that question.
Did your team make entry and conduct any investigation at the suspect's home?
I believe we had people that participated in that securing of it. There were bomb assets that we provided.
Mr. Chairman, can I have 30 more seconds?
Yeah. I'm letting everybody kind
of. Okay.
On the night of, since then, none.
Did you get any reports from any of your agents of anything fishy at the home?
I was briefed on.
Was there any silverware found in the home or trash?
I have nothing in the briefing that I was given, sir.
Was it extremely clean, almost like a medical lab? Were you given any of those reports?
I was not giving any of those details, sir.
Okay, that's what I'm hearing. Interesting. The last thing I want to enter into the record, Mr. Chairman, this is. Article, opinion from, I believe, the Washington Post by Robert Kagan. A Trump dictatorship is increasingly inevitable. We should stop pretending. This article compares Trump to Caesar and attempts to justify the assassination of President Trump. And I think even though we want to dodge around it and not make this partisan, I think we all know that a lot of this has to do with the rhetoric, the very violent rhetoric that has led up to this. Thank you. I yield back.
RT, your thoughts on this?
I agree with him. Okay. I absolutely agree with him. Just said, I don't know. The more you uncover, the worse it looks.
Yeah.
And we don't, I would just love to know what two people were talking and started hatching this scheme.
Which, I have to say this scheme was hatched long before the actual site was selected.
Oh yeah. They knew they wanted to kill him.
Yeah.
And this just presented a workable opportunity, and they did it with a few different manipulations, provided a barrel to shoot the fish in.
Exactly. All right. Although this
at those distances, you just don't miss.
No.
But they did. The hand of God was absolutely right there. Because I'm telling you, those distances, a regular guy that just qualifies as a marksman in the U.S. Army has to be able to make that shot.
Which is the lowest qualification.
Yes.
Yeah, that's the lowest.
Yes. Right. Marksman, sharpshooter, expert.
Aaron, thank you. Okay. Although this might seem redundant, folks, indulge me. You can, in many cases, you can never have enough redundancy when it comes to issues like this. It also keeps people honest. This is cut two. Representative Eli Crane outlined several poorly executed security operation issues at Butler, PA. He was talking to Jack Posobiec, again, a friend of the program, friend of mine. And this is on Human Events. It's a 5-minute video clip. Take it in its entirety. And in fact, watch the entire clip. Again, some redundancy here, but some additional important questions. Go ahead, cut to.
So myself and Rep. Corey Mills and also Benny Johnson went there to help us document this trip back to Butler. This is my second time this week going to Butler, PA to do an investigation at this site. And I think it's important to acknowledge what many of your viewers and listeners understand, and that's that most of us don't trust the federal government to get to the bottom of this. And I think even fewer of us trust, even if they did, that they would actually relay it to the American people. And so that's why, thankfully, we do have some younger members and even a few older members of Congress that are unconventional and willing to go, you know, do oversight and investigation by themselves on their own time.
And so the fact that you were able to go there and see this, we're playing, of course, some of the footage that you put together, actually being in that second floor room, as well as the drone footage that went up. Tell me what were, I don't want to put words in your mouth, what were some of the things that that struck you from visiting the site?
Well, yeah, this time we actually got to get up on the one of the barns that the counter snipers were positioned in, and Corey and myself, who also has experience as a shooter, we got to check the sight angles, because as you know, Jack, oftentimes the official narrative is so far from reality that I think it's important that you even check the basics to see if that's these shots could have been made, you know, when you start going into some of the deeper aspects of the investigation. And some of the other things that we're doing, Jack, is talking to whistleblowers as well. And what I can tell you at this point, without coming out with everything, is that there are people, we call them sheepdogs, within our government and our law enforcement agencies, who also don't trust that this federal government and law enforcement to reveal to the American people exactly what's going on. And there are concerns that that the American people are being gaslit. And also there are some concerns that things just don't add up, especially, you know, I'm talking to some guys that are very concerned with how the home looked once investigations were done. And so I'll be breaking some more on that here in the next couple of days. But we're going to stay on top of it and do everything we can to make sure the American people, you know, actually find out what happened.
And this is a situation, now look, as a Navy SEAL, as someone who's participated in many tactical operations, what is your sense about the story that we're getting out saying that these SWAT team abandoned their posts, somebody went home early? I saw some of the reports that Benny Johnson was putting together, that people were not assigned to the roof itself of the building. People are at home scratching their heads saying none of this adds up.
Yeah, no, and that's one of the reasons I wanted to get out there and have gone back, because, you know, even as a security professional, and it's, you know, I honestly don't like Monday morning quarterbacking the guys that were in charge of the security. I know it's a tough job. I don't know who made the call for that rally to be held at that site in the first place, but I think that was one of the biggest mistakes right there. There were just, if you go to that site and you do a site survey and you get up on a high spot and you look at how many threats any security team would have had to cover down on to provide adequate security for an executive or a former president like Donald Trump, one of the most loved but also one of the most hated men on planet Earth. There were just way too many threats, especially because he didn't have a full presidential Secret Service package. And so that was mistake number one. But then when you look at the fact, and I've been, you know, continuing to sound the alarm on this, that none of the counter sniper teams got up in the water tower. I don't think anybody even got up there and just to check it out and see what the sight lines and angles were from that. That was a big mistake right there. And then, yes, we are hearing that there were multiple people in that second floor. I am hearing somebody did have to go home early because of a family emergency, which does happen from time to time. But I'm also hearing that one of the individuals went outside to go see if he could find the shooter, and then his key card wasn't working to get him back in to the building, and so one of the guys had to come down and let him back in, and supposedly that's when shots were fired. And so, you know, things like that do happen in operations all the time, but again, it just goes to show
Go ahead and cut this. What are the odds, RT? What are the odds of that? Are you buying that story?
No. And I will agree with what he said. That's a great venue for killing someone. You're like just opposite of there on the other side. You got buildings and all kind. There's all. You know what? That was the proverbial barrel for shooting fish in. That.
Yep.
It could have happened from 2/3 of the angles. It could have happened from, you know, you could have put people in. They could have even caught them in a crossfire if they wanted to.
You know, this reminds me a lot of the Kennedy assassination. Mm-hmm. I believe that they ripped a page from that playbook. Triangulation was the key. I know based on information I got directly from a source, a law enforcement source in Butler, this man did not act alone. We are aware collectively, folks, please, the comments and the emails, we are aware of the names of, Urich, Maxwell Urich and others. Okay. We're aware of those. The difficulty is matching those names with on-site observations by law enforcement. Credible. Okay. Credible. As well as the other thing too, this may not have been the only site that was surveilled or intended. Mm-hmm. Just like Chicago and a location in Florida for Kennedy.
This, and future sites, guys.
Exactly. That's
what I have to look at. And what I said about the videos, please don't swamp us with stuff we already have. I'm looking for a specific video of him firing from the roof.
Yes.
Somebody out there's got it. I know they do. Please send it to me. Okay. I've got videos of him flopping on the roof and all, everything. Of him stationary on the roof. I don't need those. I got 20 copies of it.
And here's the icing on the cake, RT. I didn't tell you this. I didn't tell Eric this. And I'm going to tell people this for the first time. And the reason I kept this to myself is I don't want this to turn people off. According to information I have from my law enforcement source, witnesses who came forth at the time of the shooting have been visited by members of the U.S. Secret Service and intimidated into not talking but turning over any pictures, video that they have of the event under threat of we'll take your cell phone, we'll take your camera. And this has been happening now since the date of the shooting, July 13th.
And if you got something you want safe and secure like that, you send it to us.
There you go.
I mean that. Anybody has any really relevant information? I've seen every theory video out there. Okay. And I like what Doug's put together here. Very good working copy. And you notice he's got, we can go anywhere with this. You know what I mean? There's plenty of room because we don't know. We don't know. And the sooner we figure
what
it out,
we know, but we don't know what we don't know.
That's what I was trying to say. Doug has put a tremendous amount of work in this. Most of mine's been searching. Eric is a poor guy that all this gets dumped into his computer. So I just want to let you folks know that, and we're still working on it. I mean, it's not going to eat up every show we do, but we're still working on it.
But, all right. But this, I believe, you know, had the internet been around for JFK, had
phones
been so prolific back then, obviously.
People don't realize that the Zapruder film didn't show up for like a year after the assassination.
Yeah, I think it was almost two.
Please.
Yeah.
Please, ladies and gentlemen, remember that.
And it was redacted, or cut, spliced.
Yeah. And I told you the story how I sat on something for several months, not even realizing I had it. So go, if you filmed anything in there, go back and take a look. And I it's just really, I like to see any shooting. If you have any other than the counter snipers, any shooting, water tower, windows, whatever. All right. And I will just say, we've seen the one where there's a flash in the window. We've got to verify these things. And the part that scares me today is everything's so easy to insert and manipulate.
Yes.
And that really has made our chops as researchers. Doug, wouldn't you say that's probably the hardest aspect of research now is just verifying the validity of what you see?
You know, that's made it so
difficult. And believe me, the bad guys bank on that.
Yeah.
They do. They know. They knew when they did this that if it got messed up or if it was successful, nobody has a clear line of sight on this. We're all struggling to put together exactly what happened.
And I like to verify my information from more than one source.
Yes. If I bring something in, Doug verifies all my stuff. Don't think that I just set it on the desk and away we run with it.
And it works in reverse. I mean,
and he does the same thing. Yeah. Before you see it, he shows it to me.
Yep.
And Eric, and I mean, between the three of us, you're going to have a hard time sneaking something by. You know,
it
very well could happen. Depends how sharp you are. But, you know, with today's technology, it's getting harder and harder and harder. You know, I mean, to verify things, I mean, you literally have to like take the film apart.
It's maddening where we're at right now.
And while everybody's home sleeping, we're going through videos and documents and, you know, interviews, and it's crazy, man. It's just crazy. Well, while I got a second,
go ahead,
ladies and gentlemen. Hagman Coffee.
Hey, there you go.
Right, remember the K cups. Doug doesn't spend a lot of money putting pretty stuff on the top. Why? So you guys can afford this coffee. Okay. Very reasonably priced. And if you like it in beans, which I really enjoy the smell. I love the smell of fresh beans when I open it.
Okay. There you go.
It's got three different ones here. You got your leaded, your unleaded, and then the stuff that is high octane.
That high octane will cool yeah,
so,
air, man.
So please. And the thing is, it tastes good. We're not just pumping it because it says Hagman on it. This Doug would not allow crappy coffee to go out the door.
I must have turned down like a whole bunch.
At least. And the thing is, it met his very discriminating standards.
Damn right.
Because he's a coffee guy. This guy has drank more coffee than a lot of us just sitting on stakeouts. Watching the bad guys do things, you know. I've been with them. I know. Coffee gets consumed, and this is really dynamite coffee. And a portion of the proceeds go to help the children. They're being sexually trafficked. They're being murdered.
Yeah, to be honest, that's not a generation of money or funds for this operation. It's 2/3 go to.
It's spoken for already. Yeah. You know, we just, ladies and gentlemen, we need that to happen. We got some great people out there, guys like Craig Sawyer and people that are trying to save the children. You saw what happened in the Olympics opening ceremony. The only thing missing that night was the plunging of a knife into a child's chest. I'm telling you, that was so satanic. I'm disgusted. I'm ashamed, and I will have nothing to do with the Olympics, nor will I have anything to do with the people that sponsored that crap, allowed it to happen with their dollars. Well, you know what? If you're going to spend dollars I spend with you on that, I'm not spending dollars with you. I will go to your competitor. Shame on you. Absolutely shame on you. You're filth. You're filth. You can't feed that stuff. You don't finance Satan. Stop it.
There was an article about the anti-Christian Olympic opening ceremony heralds the rise of a neo-pagan West. I would say no, a satanic, not a neo-pagan, a very satanic. This was all satanic. And the mocking.
Who knows crap about it?
Yeah. We need to stand up and
nothing
say no.
Silent. We're yeah, I mean, where are the Christian leaders in this country? They're not. I know you're sure.
Yeah. Yeah. But let's not talk about this.
But you have a, guess what? I just don't get it. I grew up in Baptist churches in the middle of the United States. And I'll tell you what, the pastor that I had, he would have been screaming. He would have been screaming. He would not. People, do not be afraid about talking about this with church members and tell your pastor, speak up. Because if you got a pastor who says, well, I think Kamala Harris is a very good person, you know what? You need to get out of that church. Something's wrong. And I'm tired of these mamby. I'm tired of the mamby-pamby pastors today. They don't want to say anything because they don't want to scare anybody away. But you know what? You need to speak up. Because any lost souls out there, sir or ma'am, female preachers do, but sir, their blood is on your hands. I said my piece.
Hey, there it is. I love it. And we have to confront all of these demonic it's getting more and more demonic. I'm telling you that right now.
And it's going to increase, Doug. That's the, because nobody's saying anything.
Exactly. Exactly. Before we run out of time, Jack Posobiec posted this. This is an 11th grade shot of the alleged shooter, Thomas Crux, computer technology. Tell me this guy, folks, this was taken. I don't know. He was, 15, 16 at the time. All of the pictures you see are aged pictures to make him seem less, I don't know. Look, you could have had more recent pictures, but this is a guy, a young man involved in computer technology. And folks, for radio listeners, it's a picture of him. Hello, my name is Thomas Crooks. I am currently in 11th grade at Bethel Park High School. I've always had an interest in building things. In 2017, my dad and I built our first PC, a gaming machine with a Z170, a motherboard, and a Radeon R9 graphics. I don't even know what the hell this crap is. We later modified the case to include glass light panel and RGB lighting. My interests are highly varied and include computer technology, engineering, history, and economics. I plan to go to college locally after I graduate. Does this sound like a shooter to you? Does this sound like somebody with no social footprint? No. No and no. And when I say, does this sound like a shooter to you, and say no, I'm asking you to consider information back. You can go back to 1954. You can go back to 1964. You can go back to 72, 73, 75, 77. I'm going to select one thing here. Let's see here. Many of the MK Ultra documents were absolutely destroyed prior to disclosure by, let's see here. I'm not even sure.
This reminds
Stanley Gottlieb, actually.
This reminds me of the Denver, the guy with the red hair that went into the theater.
Yeah.
There's a lot of similarities when you look at some of the things in here. And I was convinced, still am, and I heard it from a decent source back then, okay, and I'll just say it was within the boundary of New York, that he was under the psychiatric care of an Air Force doctor.
Oh, yes. Yes.
Now, don't tell me that they didn't program that kid.
You know, New York Times. Okay, New York Times in 1980. I don't have the exact date here. But let me see. I have a copy of the... No, I do. New York Times in 1980 talked exactly about this. This was... let's see.
I mean, that's my own conclusion. That's not even from reading anything.
Well,
just what I read about him.
Yeah, I mean...
Just unbelievable. It's done. It's done every day. There's people out here that are under mind control by the bad element.
It's absolutely, folks, you've got to understand how deep this goes. And don't discount anything. It's just amazing. RT, thank you so much for accompanying me on this journey.
I love this. When we get into something, I love it. I love it. Yep.
All right. God bless you, my friend. Folks, God bless you.